regards to us at the Elim conference. For those of you who are still not clear, once a year the Elim movement meets, and conference is our legal meeting, as it were, as a charity. But also, and so we come, and it's expected that all ministers will be there, and any lay representatives. Chris came as our lay representative, and then we discuss and talk about any issues, any voting that needs to take place. So all that happens in the afternoon, from after dinner through till about 5:30. In the mornings and in the evenings, there's seminars and teachings to build up and encourage leaders and leadership. So that's basically the format of conference. So it's a key time, very important. It's great also because you get to see and meet old friends and colleagues who are in the same ministry. So it's a really, really special time. This year was special in the sense that Chris Cartwright, who has ministered here at Romford Elim Church, he was, after two terms, it's four terms for the leader of the movement, the General Superintendent, or GS, and he's done two, and he therefore stepped down, and a new name was put forward, and that was Mark Pugh. And we were all delighted that Mark has been chosen as the new GS. We worked together many, many years. It was Mark who changed the name of the youth from On Target. I was there a long time, from 94 through to 2009, doing the youth and stuff. And then Mark came in as a young man, and we were older. But as soon as he came in, we saw that he had the anointing. He changed the name, and we said, look, Mark, you take the lead. And he changed the name to Serious for God, and then began a journey which built up the youth work nationally for Elim, which before then, really, Elim wasn't known in the national sphere. It didn't have a name at all. But that began, and things just started to roll. He was a visionary and very clearly had something. I remember he said, what if we just did one day at the Birmingham Centre? I forgot, what do you call the Birmingham Centre, the big one? NEC. At the NEC. We said, what? You know, make a big jump, and let's believe for 1,000 young people to come to know Jesus. Let's encourage all the youth in the movement to bring someone, get coaches, and let's believe God for 1,000. And we just said, yeah, let's do it. And so we went, coaches, we had a coach full, we went, brought them up there, and the speaker spoke, the band played, and at the end in this auditorium, the appeal was made. Who wants to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And there was silence. The place was made up of those flip-flop chairs, you know, those when you stand up, the flip back. There was silence. And then suddenly we heard flip. And then flip, 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 flip. And all these young people coming forward, one of which was Rachel. On that day, which was so meaningful to me. And 1,100 young people received Jesus as Lord and Savior on that day. We thought then, this is a future general superintendent, not because of that particular event, but because he then started in the college a youth track for young people and for youth workers. That took off. And then the young people who enrolled in there, then he used in the conference. They were working hands in the conference and stuff. So suddenly a whole multiplicity of things were happening, not just one event, but from there. And now some of those are now ministers leading churches and stuff. So he's got a good pedigree in terms of visionary, but also getting people in the right places. So do pray for Mark as he takes up. We're very excited that we feel it's the right person for this next season. Chris has laid a good foundation, and Mark now is going to build on that. And we were all wondering how it would go. I'll tell you in a moment. So finish with Chris. I suppose it wasn't just him. I don't know how they formulated the actual title of the conference, but it was called Awakening. Awakening. So that was the theme of the conference. And Chris opened it up, his final talk to us, and he was on fire. All these things, by the way, you can see on YouTube now, on the Elim YouTube, the key addresses. So Chris Cartwright, his address was Awakening a Heavenly Vision. And he spoke about Moses at the burning bush, about how God called him, and how that one individual who was on the run, remember, he committed murder, and he was on the run from Egypt, having discovered that he was a Jew. He had to lay down his princehood. He was a prince of Egypt, but when he discovered he was a Hebrew, it led to an altercation. It led to the death of one of the soldiers, and he had to flee. He flees and out into the desert to Moab, and he's there for 40 years. 40 years of silence. And then God grabs hold of him at the burning bush. And in that moment, Chris outlined four things. The awakening to his own need. Yes, firstly, he had to admit he was a Hebrew. His background was a slave. He was insignificant. He was no longer a prince of Egypt. He was a murderer. He felt he couldn't speak. He was not an orator. But yet God took hold of him and called him and said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Egypt and lead out my people who have been slaves into freedom." And in that, his own need, he recognized, "I can't do this. I can't do it." But God speaks to him and he says yes. He's also awakened to the willingness of God to use the whosoever. Put your hand up if you are the whosoever. Two, three, four, five. Put your hand up if you are the whosoever. We are the whosoever. God could use Moses with his background to do an incredible thing. And so he was awakened to his own need, his own inadequacies. He was awakened to God's willingness to use such a person as him. Be open this morning and willing to the willingness of God to use you. Absolutely. And this is what these divine appointments are about our everyday business. God can use you because you're the only one in that position at that time. So why shouldn't he use you? That's the willingness of God to use the whosoever. Whatever we may think about ourselves, God can still use you. Awakening to God's heart, his desire was revealed to rescue his children. Those who he'd entered into covenant with as a nation to be their God and to reveal himself through the Hebrews, through the Israel nation, to the rest of the world who worshipped false gods. He was awakened to God's heart. And God's heart is towards you this morning. It's towards us. His deep desire to save people. I was up at Spitalfields Market. Spitalfields Market. And I was just went up there because there was a particular sandwich that I wanted to get and eat. So I went all the way up there to sit down. As it turned out, they weren't open. So I had to get a different one. But as I was sat there munching, I was just looking around. As I was walking through, I just saw these thousands of people. And my heart just broke. Because these people are going to hell. And we have the answer. We can help rescue them. We can be God's mouthpiece. Because he's done the work. He's paid the price on the cross. Now he's given it to his church, the commission, to go and tell people how they can be saved. Who can save them? And it's only Jesus. He's the only one who can do it. And just felt, I really felt that breaking going on. That's God's heart. When sometimes we need to know God's heart so that we feel it too. And awakening to God's call. Awakening to his own needs. Awakening to God's willingness to use the whosoever. Awakening to God's heart, his real genuine desire to save. That's what his death was all about. And he was awakened to God's call. The chosen man for this hour, or that hour back then. But today, it's us. Amen? We are the chosen ones for this hour, this generation, this time. Let's not let God down. So Chris started with the awakening of a heavenly vision. Let's lift our eyes a bit and let's not let the pressures and stuff of life keep our eyes firmly on the here and now and what's going on here. We've got to keep our vision up there to see what God sees. Then there was Damilola Makindi. Damilola Makindi, she spoke about awakening hope. Awakening hope. And her ministry was a very soft ministry. A very soft and a very intelligent exposition of the Word of God. And she spoke from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And there was a number of figures, but the key one was Hannah. And Hannah, whose name is Favor, means favor, of her struggle having been told or having experienced the fact that she couldn't have children. And then there was Peninnah, whose name means pearl, who was having many children to the same husband. And as the other wife, Peninnah used to irritate her, provoke her with her childlessness. And eventually over the years, it began to take her down into a pit of despair. Until one day, God intervened. God intervened. In that exposition, she gave one illustration, which I'll just share with you. And it was about the forming of a pearl. And a pearl is formed inside the shell. It's a mollusk, basically, is living in that shell. And that shell is formed out of secretions from that mollusk over a period of time, a hard, protective shell. And if there is something that gets in there, it starts to irritate the mollusk inside. It secretes inside that shell to try and neutralize that irritation. And this parasite or whatever it is will just keep going. And the more that keeps going, the more it secretes. And what it secretes develops a layer upon layer upon layer, a pearl. So the bigger the pearl, the more the irritation. Yeah? The more the irritation that's been going on. And she simply said this: the attack of the enemy, speaking to us now, speaking to you now, the attack of the enemy does not negate the presence of God. Because whatever is irritating you, whatever is pressurizing you, attacking you, and it's persistent, it's not going away, it's not happening, and it's going on and on and on, if you listen to God, it is building a pearl in your life. And because you're going through that, doesn't negate the fact that God is there. You might feel that he's not, but he is. So trust him. Because out of that will come the pearl in your life. Hannah means favor. And yet she was struggling because the one area which she so longed for breakthrough with, there seemed to be no favor. And that was to have a child. But praise God, her persistence in prayer and calling out to God eventually led to the pearl of bearing a child. Then there was David Hall. Chris spoke on awakening a heavenly vision. Damilola on awakening hope. Don't lose your hope. Amen? Don't lose your hope. David Hall was totally off the wall, basically. He wasn't preaching in any depth like Damilola. There was jokes flying left, right, and center. He was just a really amazing character from New Zealand. And his whole thrust was not particularly about great theology. His whole thrust was, we are a Pentecostal movement. We are people who believe in the Holy Spirit and in the work of the Holy Spirit now. And as a movement, we believe in four things: the Bible, the Word of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where God, by His Spirit, who lives in us, empowers us to live the Christian life, but also to be a witness. Amen? We talked about this a few weeks ago, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and how important that is. And so his whole thrust was not just to talk about, but to then pray and give opportunity to receive the touch of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit for some, healing for some in whatever way. The third aspect was that Jesus is coming back. We haven't got all the time in the world. And the fourth thing was he believes in miracle, because the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, who performed all those miracles, is the same Holy Spirit who's alive today. And therefore, those miracles can still happen. Now, here's the thing is, Jesus operated through the power of the Spirit. He didn't do those miracles in his own power. Why? Because he was showing that he was being just as we are. He identified with us. The truth is that as Christians, as those who follow Christ, who now have the same Spirit living within us, we have the same potential to see those things happen in us and through us. Amen? And his whole thrust was then to give opportunity to receive. And so that was his sermon, basically those four things. He spoke again in the evening, twice he spoke, and spoke about the barriers that stop us from receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. We sung about it today, and we'll close with giving opportunity to receive. The things that can stop us are ignorance. We don't know about the Holy Spirit. When you look in Acts chapter 19, the folks there, when the disciples went to them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said to him, we've not even heard about the Holy Spirit. And so he introduces them, prays for them. They are baptized in the Holy Spirit. They speak with tongues. They start to prophesy. God impacts them. And they are released and step into a new lease of life. Ignorance. Do you know about the Holy Spirit? The baptism in the Holy Spirit? Secondly, if can be a barrier to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if God wants to, he'll give me whatever he wants to give me, which can be a cop-out. So you're saying, let's take the ifs out of our sentences. No longer use if, because with God, it's yes and amen. Not if. Yes and amen. The Bible says, receive. And here's the good news. The good news is that the Spirit of God lives in you if you know Jesus Christ. And my encouragement to us when I was speaking a while ago is, don't necessarily think of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit coming down upon us. Yes, we see that in the Old Testament, but we're in a new dispensation when we come to the New Testament. The Spirit of God lives in us, amen? And therefore, I firmly believe, and the Scripture clearly to me says, that the Spirit of God is in us. And therefore, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about release, being filled with the Spirit to overcome any weakness that stops you doing what God wants you to do. In other words, power to be a witness. If, for example, shyness or embarrassment or that kind of stuff holds you back from doing what you know you should do, just to speak to that person, just to pray for that person, just to offer life to that person. When you're full of the Spirit, he takes control. Amen? He takes over. And it happens. Poor old Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, when you look at him, you see the greatest example of that. Because he was asked to tell his own people to give in to the Babylonians. Let them conquer you. This is punishment for your waywardness as a nation. You can't say that in your own country, can you, really? You'll be branded as a traitor. But that's the message he had to give. In terms of his character, he did give it, by the way, and he suffered for it, imprisoned, beaten, but he consistently gave it for 40 years, and it happened. But in terms of his character, we look at his character, and this guy is a weak character. He's a shy man. He feels the pain. He feels the loss because it meant losing out on marriage. It meant losing out on his family who branded him as a traitor. It meant losing out on all his friendships, an outcast. And for someone who is of a timid nature and full of anxiety, that must have been absolutely horrendous. But he says in chapter 20, verse 9 of Jeremiah, he says, But your word is like a fire in my bones. I am compelled to speak the truth. And I can't stop it. Even if he tries, he can't stop it. He's compelled. How I pray in Jesus' name for that compulsion for the lost in our mouthpieces, that we will not allow something to stop us. And I pray that for Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Help us so that when you fill us, it doesn't stop at our mouth. But we are compelled to tell the truth, to bring life into people's hearts. So that was David Hall. The other things that can stop you is you're put off by different things, people falling down or people running on the spot or doing some outrage. Hey, don't worry. If that's not you, it will happen to you. Don't worry about what if. Just worry about, Lord, I need you. I want your gift. Here I am. And allow the Spirit of God to fill you, baptize you. Don't be put off by other people's experience. And the fourth thing he said was, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 50 years ago, but you haven't spoken since. You haven't. So don't use that as an excuse. Seek God now. What about today? Because you still need the same power, because you've still got weaknesses that he will overcome. Then there was Rachel Hickson. And Rachel spoke about awakened with purpose. Wake up from slumber. She gave the example of those who have difficulty in getting up in the morning. Hands up if that's you. It's not me particularly. I like getting up. Anybody? You find difficulty in getting up in the morning. You're an evening person, a day person, but not a morning person. So you know the feeling. However, if there is a crash in the house or a bump in the house in the night, you are alert in an instant. And if you're not, your wife is. And she will push you out the door with a baseball bat. Go and see what's going on down there. Awakened with purpose. God doesn't want a church that's asleep. And I think the sleeping days are over, are they not? When we look at our society, the society needs the church. They need us, friends. Say it to one another, they need us. They really do. They need us to be the people we are supposed to be in Christ. Because we have the truth. And now we're entering into a period where we should not be ashamed to declare who we are. Because everybody else is. So why should we not? Because we have the good news. Psalm 57, awake my soul, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. Hallelujah. That's alertness, getting up even before the dawn. Praise God. Five steps to awakening. One, God's people clean up their lives. Two, God's people give themselves to the word. Three, God's people focus on good news. Great to hear that. And I apologize, I've not spoken on good news enough. Not just the gospel, I'm talking about Philippians. If you look into Philippians, whatever is good, whatever is righteous, whatever is of good report, how much of your thinking and your dwelling is on the good things in life? And how much is always on the negative, all the bad stuff? Let's get the balance right. Because as you think, so you are. God's people devote themselves to prayer. Fourthly, God's people give extravagantly. Five steps of awakening to God's purpose. And then finally, Mark, the final address, was no address. His desire was consecration. And his desire was that we would be consecrated as a movement to the Lord before we do anything. He has thoughts and ideas, but that wasn't put across at the conference. It was simply coming before the Lord as ministers and lay people and are laying ourselves before God. And to help him do that, he had a theologian, Malcolm Duncan, give a 10-minute thing. He had Rachel Hickson, a gifting of prophecy that she has, prophesying over us as a movement. He had Danny, who is from the Letchworth Elim Church, the wife of the minister there, talking about generations because she runs the kids' work, Elim-wise, and how important that if we are consecrating ourselves, let's not forget our children. They can be consecrated as well. They need to be invited to the table. Our young people, our young adults, our children, they're just as important. It's not about important, but they are just as needed as the adults. And then there was Nita, Mark's wife, and she had this, a woman of prayer, and she had this vision, or not vision, but as she was praying, about Mephibosheth, remember, he was one of the descendants of Saul. And as a baby, he was dropped as, I can't remember if it was his mother or one of the servants, ran with him to escape from the attacking enemy, and in the process dropped him, and he was deformed from that moment on. And the word that she got from that is that we must not run from the enemy. In the running from the enemy, we could cause damage to our children, to those who come after us. Rather, we should hold our children firmly, turn and face the enemy. Because in Jesus' name, we have the authority and the power to overcome and protect our children. Not to turn our backs on the enemy. That's why the armor of God is here in the front and there's nothing at the back. And then he had Helen, our Helen, sing over the conference and just wrap it up with bringing those words in a song. The song really featured about being taken out into the desert, and yet in the desert, God gave us a flower. Where there shouldn't be a flower, there shouldn't be growth, there shouldn't be life. It's the desert, it's the wilderness. So don't be afraid to go out into the wilderness. If you're in the wilderness, God will give you flowers in the midst of it. That just about summarizes everything in a nutshell as to what happened at conference. And I think as we conclude today, I think it'd be really good to consecrate ourselves. Since our head is advocating that, let us do that. Amen? Let us do that this morning. Let us do that this morning. And so I'm just simply going to ask, as we close, I was wondering, how should we do this? I don't want us to do it all together. I want us to know that we are taking bold steps. I am taking a step this morning for Jesus. And I don't know what's coming. Don't know what's around the corner. We didn't go into all those details as a movement. But what we simply did was say, Lord, here I am. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you because when I'm empowered by you, I can handle whatever's coming. And this morning, that's what I'd like us to do. And so I'm just going to ask Chima and Chris. I think Godfrey's away, isn't he? Godfrey's away. Come join us. I'm going to ask Jill join me as well. If you would help us too, please, Rita and Justice. We're just going to stand at the front here. And just very simply, I'd just like you just to come. I'd like us to just lay hands upon you. No big super long prayer, but just to pray a prayer of consecration. That, going back to those words in that first little bit of scripture in Acts chapter 1, don't leave Jerusalem without receiving the gift. Amen. And so I simply want us to pray over you, brother, sister, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Doesn't mean we're not praying that he's not already there. He is. But we're praying that you will be full of the Spirit of God, that you will leave this place walking on cloud 9. Amen. Confidently walking out those doors, making a difference in the week that's to come, wherever you are. Does that make sense? So yeah, shall we do that? I'm just going to ask Rachel if you'd come, just whether you play the bass or whatever you want to do, or guitar, whatever you want to do, Rach, just as we do this. And then I'm just going to ask you to come. Okay? So just for sake of order, we'll maybe start from the front going backwards. Okay, when you've been prayed for, just make your way back to your seat and we'll do it that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Let's pray. Father, I first of all pray for ourselves, the team here at the front. Lord, we just ask for your cleansing. We don't want to pass anything on that's not of you. We pray that you will cleanse us, Lord. I pray for cleansing for me. I pray for each and every one of us, Lord God. You've given us leadership functions, not because we're better than anybody else, but because that's the gift that you've given to us. Help us lead well. But we pray as we lay hands, it won't be ours. It will be yours. So that people receive good things. In Jesus' name. Amen. So come. Just file on. We're just going to pray a short prayer.
Here's where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you burden and every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. My surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, Lord Jesus. Jesus found me just as I am, empty-handed but life in your hands, singing majesty. Changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty, majesty. As I am, empty handed but alive in your hands, singing majesty, majesty. His love abundantly in us. We are here longing to be changed, breathe into our lives again. Don't let us leave the same. Spirit of God, fire of love, come have your way in us. Your glory and power awaken us now. Lord, have your way in us. Oh. looking to pour out His love. Abundantly in us, we are here, longing to be changed. Breathe into our lives again. Let us live the same. Spirit of God, fire of love, come have your way in us. Your glory and power awaken us now. Lord,
so Father, we pray, dismiss us with your blessing. Lord God, we pray for divine appointments. We pray, Heavenly Father, whatever you have in store for us, that we'll be strong, not in ourselves, but in Jesus and in the power of you, Holy Spirit. Grant us those divine appointments. Grant us, Lord God, that overcoming spirit. And Father, we will give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Refreshments are being